Hey, good afternoon and welcome to Nothing But Good News Radio. This is your host, Candy G. I am an internationally recognized author, speaker, trainer, coach, radio, and TV personality, and the creator of the acclaimed Vision Program. I have a true life story that's been called from peanut butter to private jets. I've also been referred to as an expert in the field of thought transformation. My mission is to deliver the message and bring you the tools for real success, abundance, happiness, wealth, vitality, health, all of the things that we want. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about what we do here every week and what we do here with what we call Nothing But Good News New World Media. In this age of sound bites, space providing good news in the media is our primary intention and the purpose for Nothing But Good News New World Media. Candy G's Enterprise's foundational principles are based on truth in media, which is the basis for our magazine, radio, webinars, blogs, and online presence, and in all the work that we deliver. We are dedicated to high-quality information to the public through all of our programming and to satisfy the increasing demand for integrity, honesty, and impassioned living. I'm so excited about today's guest, but you're going to have to wait just a minute because I've got a couple of things I want to tell you before we get there. The first one is I want to share with you today's G-Note. Well, what a G-Note is what I call a daily gift to guide you to greatness, and I drop that in your email box every single morning. Today's G-Note simply reads, "Dear friend, make the choice daily to focus the power of your intention on what you want, not what you don't want." Now, if you'd like to get a little note from me every day, a little note of inspiration, motivation, a little something to think about, just go to my website, candyg.com. That's K-A-N-D-E-E-G.com, and you'll get a G-note from me every single day. Also, if you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook and MySpace, you'll get G-notes there as well. Now, I have an announcement I want to make. I'm probably going to make it a couple times through the show. But before we get to today's guest, because I know this is going to be one great conversation today, so you're going to want to stick around for the whole hour, I want to see all of you, especially locally, I want you to come out and join me for an event on November 16th. It's a week from today. It is the South Florida movie premiere of An Anything But Ordinary Journey. It's going to be a great film that will inspire all of us in these tough times, and some of the proceeds are going to benefit the Second Chance Society, which is an incredible organization. And we have a world of folks that need a second chance. And here's a little bit of the details. I will be hosting the premiere, which benefits the Second Chance Society, at the very historic Cinema Paradiso. And you can go to anythingbutordinary.net, and you can get some great details. You can buy tickets through Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival, FLIFF.com. It's a small theater, so you want to go and get your tickets. The tickets are only $10, but it is an extraordinary movie. As I said, I'll be emceeing. Oh, I also play a small part in the movie, which is interviewed on my story. But I just want you to come out because it is extraordinary. You will be motivated. You will be inspired. And you will make a difference with the Second Chance Society. So I hope to see you on Monday. If you need directions or anything else at all, just email me, CandyG, K-A-N-D-E-E-G, at CandyG.com. Now, on to today's guest. I'm very excited. I have with me today Michelle May. She's a physician and a recovered yo-yo dieter, and she delivers her crucial and timely message with passion, energy, humor, and insight that transform the way that people view weight management. And boy, do I know this is very, very, very needed. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to have her share with you a little of her own story, but she is also the author of Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat. Oh, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Candy. I'm thrilled to be here.
Thanks. I'm so excited. Your book is amazing, and I think it speaks so much to what folks need to hear today. So why don't you tell the listening audience a little bit about what got you taking a look at stuff in this direction?
You know, like many people in the United States and elsewhere in the world, I have been dieting for many, many years. I started when I was a teenager and dieted all the way through high school, all the way through college, into medical school, and right into my practice. And, you know, it wasn't until I realized that other people, my patients, were doing exactly the same thing, and they weren't having any better success than I was long-term. And I started thinking, gosh, you know, a medical doctor, there were presidents of companies and principals and mothers of large families and all these very accomplished people who, for some reason or other, just weren't able to stay on a diet long term. And I began to wonder whether maybe the diets were the wrong approach rather than there being something wrong with us. I got my wheels turning, and I began to think, well, what is it that's different about the way that I eat compared to somebody like my husband or my children who don't struggle with their weight at all? And that was a big aha moment for me, Candy, because I realized at that point that he never really thought about food unless he was hungry. My kids weren't thinking about food all day long. They were thinking about playing, and then when they got hungry, then they thought about food. And for me, as a dieter, as a yo-yo dieter, if I was on a diet, I was thinking about food. When I was off a diet, I was thinking about food. And it really was never addressing the underlying issues for me. You know,
And so where did that take you to get you to understand? And is this piece, are you talking about it all has to do with your internal conversation? Is that what we're talking about? Or
exactly.
Just a piece of it?
You know, it really does. I as I picture this person who does not struggle with food or their weight, I see a person who eats when they're hungry, they stop when they're full, they enjoy food, they eat what they love, but they're not obsessed with food. They're not thinking about it all the time. So it's a pleasant part of their life. It's not a love-hate relationship like it had become for me and so many of the people that I work with. And I realized that for me, when I went on a diet, I was depriving myself. I was restricting myself. I was avoiding the things that I thought were the problem, the sweets, the chips, the pizza, the stuff that in essence was not really the problem. It was my self-talk. It was the relationship that I had with food. It was the purpose that food was serving in my life. And that's not to say that I had deep, dark psychological issues. I didn't. I just had learned to use food for pleasure, for distraction, for comfort, you know, to deal with boredom and stress like so many people do. But going on a diet
don't you
was
agree?
Making it worse.
Right. Don't you think food has become entertainment?
Oh, it is entertainment.
Entertainment. We're going to talk about this. You hear that music? That means we just got to go off and do a commercial break for just a minute or two. But we'll be right back in 2 minutes, and we're going to talk about our relationship with food and how to eat what we love and love what we eat. And I'm loving this conversation already. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Amerjet is ready when you are, shipping household goods, personal effects, animal, or even hazardous material. Let Amerjet deliver. Call today at 1-800-927-6059 to anywhere in the Caribbean, Mexico, Central, or South America. Amerjet is ready to ship your package. Customer-friendly and reliable cargo service throughout the world. Personal or business, small and large packages. Amerjet, your best source for great shipping.
This is Chris Gloss from Atlanta, Georgia. Candy G's book, Now Boarding and Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life, has changed my entire life. From her book, I have begun the process of re-scripting my life for a better future. Her book has actually helped me put my life on a path towards everything that I have ever dreamed and hoped and prayed for. I say to you, Candy G book should be required reading for you. I have made a decision not just to read her book, but to study her book. I refuse to miss any of the treasures in her book. That's why I will study it and use every strategy and technique that she talks about, because to this point, it has made a tremendous difference. If you're ready to make a difference in your life, get the book now.
Welcome back. This is Nothing But Good News Radio. And as I promised, I was going to talk about this film premiere a lot because I want to see you all come out there. Here's just a couple of the testimonials, because there's been one showing in Michigan, the world premiere, and then we'll have a premiere here in South Florida 1 week from today. And here's one testimonial. All I can say is, wow, this film is a work of love, dedication, and perseverance. Watching the film Friday night in the theater made me laugh, cry, and sit in silence. Thank you for this beautiful film. So I want you all come out and join me for the Florida premiere of An Anything But Ordinary Journey. You know, Michelle, before we went to commercial break, I was asking you, or just actually making a statement, is that we really do use food for entertainment, don't we? It's like, what do you want to go do? Okay, where should we go eat?
Oh, absolutely. you know, we live in an abundant food environment. We're very fortunate to have more than enough food around. And so the result is that we end up using food conveniently for all kinds of things. You know, the entertainment is one way that we use food, and it's so readily available. It's delicious. It's convenient. And, of course, right now it's relatively inexpensive compared to some of the other things we might do. So I think that people get in these habits, oftentimes unconscious or mindless habits of putting food in their mouth instead of finding something else to do. And that'd be fine, except that as soon as you stop eating, you're bored again. You know, so it just keeps right. kind of feeds on itself.
Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to a lot of snack things, and tell me if you think, you know, yes or no, but when it comes to a lot of snack things, I think a lot of the snack things are very high in carb, and it makes you crave more of those carb things.
Well, it might be related to the food itself, but it's actually interesting to take a step back. I know you talk a lot about the power of thought and how mm-hmm. what we think will affect our outcome. And if you imagine that when we eat because we're bored, we automatically seek out food that's pleasurable, that is mm-hmm. is tasty and convenient. When I'm eating because I'm hungry and I'm eating to nourish and fuel my body and give me enough energy to do the things I want, I'm more likely to reach for those more healthful foods. So if you take one step back, instead of focusing so much just on what you eat, look at why you eat in the first place, because often why you eat will determine what you choose, how you eat it, and how much you eat. If hunger doesn't tell you to start eating, how do you know when to stop? So we'll eat a lot of those kind of snacky type foods simply because as soon as I stop eating, I'm bored again. I gotta reach for more, versus eating something because I'm hungry and now I feel better and I can move on to my next activity.
You know, it's interesting. I'm not much of a snacker. I'm also not much of a bread eater. And I noticed that this particular week, we happened to be in places where they had particularly, like, amazing, like, bread. And so I was eating bread where I wasn't normally eating bread, and now I find myself craving bread. It's like, mm-hmm. it's really kind of funny. But also, you know, talk about something interesting. You talk about the power of the mind. And I recently just took off 15 pounds. And kept it off and been pretty happy about that. But with the power of my own mind, I've decided not to get on the scale. So every time I go past the mirror and I look in the mirror, I just think the incredible shrinking woman. That's my thought.
And it's very powerful.
And people are saying to me, they're going, wow, what are you doing? And certainly I took the right steps to, you know, reduce portions, eat the right food, and do all of those things. But it's also been that other piece of not going, oh, have I gotten on the scale? Have I lost a pound today? Have I lost a half a pound today?
Weight mm-hmm. is an outcome. It is not the end result here. We really need to focus on what it is that we're doing and how we're thinking about our choices, not so much on a number on a scale. For example, people who work out might put on some muscle mass so they won't see the number decreasing as fast. And if that's their primary source of reinforcement, then they may give up on those lifestyle changes. They may not even continue to exercise because it doesn't seem like it's actually doing anything. But the scale does not really reflect what's going on in the head and in the body itself. So we have to, I think, find better ways of assessing the changes that we're making.
So what is it that you did to finally find the ways to take your weight off and then keep it off? What are some of the things that you've done?
For me, the most important step was to stop dieting first, was to recognize that as long as I focused on dieting, I was over-dieting the way I was overeating. I was still using food to entertain myself and avoid dealing with the underlying issues. So that was true for me, and it's been true for thousands of people that I've worked with, where they realize that we can talk all day about food and high fat or, you know, low fat or carbs or protein or whatever the deal is, but it doesn't really change anything. So what I did instead was I began to ask myself a very deceptively simple question, and that was that whenever I felt like eating, I would just ask myself, well, Michelle, are you actually hungry? Are you hungry? And when I began to ask myself that question, what I found was that there were a lot of times when I really felt like eating food, but I didn't actually need food. And the way that I think about it now, Candy, is it's kind of like driving down the road and seeing a gas station sign over on the right. Well, you might think to yourself, hey, I wonder if I need gas. What would you do next? You'd look down at your fuel gauge. If you need gas, you pull in. If you don't, you keep going because you know there's going to be another gas station just a few miles more up the road. So that's really what it is for food as well. We have lots of signs all over that may trigger us to think, oh, I wonder if I need to get some food now. And unless we stop and check our own fuel gauge, we can keep filling up and filling up despite the fact that there is plenty of opportunities to eat. So for me, that was really a powerful step for just taking a pause for a minute and really beginning to recognize why I felt like eating in the first place.
Now, I think that's a great analogy, and there's a couple of things that I want to ask you, but the first one is, so you get to the place and say, yes, I am hungry, mm-hmm. and what are those things that you can do as you're eating to keep yourself from getting to the place of overeating?
Oh, excellent point. That's really an excellent question, because sometimes we're hungry when we start eating, but then overeat or choose food that we don't feel particularly good about afterward. So if I am hungry, then I make some very clear choices. I ask myself, well, what do I want to eat? And I think it's really important to acknowledge that we have preferences and cravings and desires for certain food. Now, if I want cookies, but it's not like I really, 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 really want cookies, then I have to think twice, do you really? And what else have you been eating today? And how's that going to make you feel? But I know for myself that if I really, 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 really want cookies, that's the four really test, right? If I really, 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 really want cookies, I'm better off having a couple of cookies right now while I'm hungry and enjoying them, because if I don't, I'll get around to eating them anyway. But later I may be full, I may feel guilty about finally breaking down, and I end up overeating a lot of food on the way to what I really wanted. But I always also need to check into, well, what do you actually need? And consider how cookies or other food is going to make me feel. Consider my own health goals, maybe weight goals for somebody that's trying to lose weight, maybe family history and other issues. And that's how I choose food, is I balance what I want with what I need so that ultimately my food choices become a balance between eating for enjoyment and eating for nourishment. It's never about bad and good. It's never about avoidance. I think the other piece of it, yeah, go ahead.
No. So I happen to see that and a couple, I still have three or four questions floating around out here, and there'll be more, is I noticed that you have a husband who's a chef and that you share a passion for gourmet and healthful cooking, wine tasting, and traveling. Now, you know, to me that sounds like that could be a formula for some trouble there. How do you manage through that piece?
Well, that's part of the issue, is that I couldn't maintain a diet long term because I really do love food. I mean, I really do. And for me, it was becoming this battle between what I thought I should do and what I wanted to do. And so that yo-yo that we talk about, that yo-yo dieting thing, you know, you're either wound up tight on your diet or you're unraveling back down toward the bottom. Wound up tight, unraveling back down toward the bottom. There's no in between. There's no middle place on a yo-yo. So what I do now is I think more of about a pendulum. So a pendulum shifts from overeating to restrictive eating if you let it. But when you stop giving those two extremes so much energy, then that pendulum can slow down and find a gentler arc somewhere in the middle where you have the flexibility to eat the foods you love and have a glass of wine or eat your favorite chocolate, but you don't have to pay penance. There's no price to be paid, and no one's going to take it away from you tomorrow when you go back on the diet. So why eat the whole thing? Why eat the whole bag of candy? It's always going to be there, so it's much easier to find a more moderate place in the middle. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And for me, I tell you, like, I know me personally, I've always been very much about watching food. I was a vegetarian for 25 years. I've also trained chefs to cook. I love pairing wines and food. I've studied fine wine since my early 20s. And so food has always been a thing, but not in a way of obsessing about food. I'm not a snack person. I don't eat desserts. My body doesn't like refined sugar. So very early on, I'd eat refined sugar and not feel good. So I got to the place where don't really care about it. You know, don't really care. I don't even care if I have a bite of dessert. But I will tell you, one of my bigger issues that I have found through most of my adult life is that I am so project-oriented, I don't pay attention to hungry, and I will barrel through the day, and I'll get all the way through the day without eating a morsel. I'll have people falling over in my office going, can we stop and eat now?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had folks be warned when they come to work, just listen, if you're new in the office, just make sure when you get hungry you mention something, because Candy G just keeps going.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I know. And so
yeah,
for me.
Well, that's part of this whole process, is that every single person has their own individual issues or problem areas, and so often diets are so cookie cutter that they attempt to deal with everything by giving people a specific formula that just doesn't work long term, because formulas only apply to the general population, but they may or may not address specific issues. So one of the problems, for example, in your situation, where it's not so much the food that's the issue, it's perhaps letting yourself get too hungry and then overeating, or having your body underutilize calories because it's afraid you're starving to death, even though for you it's not a big issue. These are the kinds of things that you specifically would need to address, and that's how I try to take this approach, is looking at how to understand where your specific issues are and then how to deal with those, rather than trying to give some magical formula, some diet.
Glad you said that, because I've said that for years, is that we're all so different. How can we all be on the same way of eating? And so I really appreciate you saying that. We're going to dip off for another commercial break. I am so happy to have Michelle May here with me. Eat what you love, love what you eat. This is really great stuff. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Amerijet is ready when you are, shipping household goods, personal effects, animal, or even hazardous material. Let Amerijet deliver. Call today at 1-800-927-6059 to anywhere in the Caribbean, Mexico, Central, or South America. Amerijet is ready to ship your package. Customer-friendly and reliable cargo service throughout the world. Personal or business, small and large packages. Amerijet, your best source for great shipping.
Now boarding. Next stop, Your Remarkable Life. Hello, this is Les Brown. A Remarkable Life is available to all of us. And Candy G, internationally recognized speaker, life coach, and author, gives us the keys to release the imprisoned splendor, as Elizabeth Browning would say. Candy G is the message that she brings. She has a strong sense of purpose to change the planet and transform people's lives. Candy G and I have shared the stage throughout the United States and all the way to London. Everyone has been amazed with the strategic thinking and winning approach they have gained, not only from her speeches and seminars, but also from her celebrated life coaching program. Now Boarding brings forth a great deal from that program, tied in with Candy G's own life experiences, and guaranteed to change your life. This book will enable you to live the life others only dream about. This has been Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy. Candy G, you've made us all proud.
Hey, welcome back. This is Candy G and Michelle May, and this is Nothing But Good News Radio, and this really is Nothing But Good News today about how you can eat what you love and love what you eat. You know, Michelle, questions about, all right, eating what you want and doing that in moderation, and maybe some folks will be listening to that and hearing it that way, but my question is, do you also take a look at you personally, or do you suggest that people take a look at calorie intake, portion control, fat restriction, all of those things that we're used to hearing?
I really don't, Candy. I think that those are unfortunately restrictive methods that tend to backfire. That's not to say that nutrition isn't important. It's very important, and I do a lot of work in the book. I mean, as a family physician, I recognize that we need to be aware of what we're putting into our bodies. But weighing and measuring and counting and calculating are unsustainable long term. So I want people to not be thinking about, okay, what do I do now? I want you to be thinking, what do I do from now on? And if what you're thinking about doing is not something that you can imagine yourself doing every day for the rest of your life, then don't bother doing it for a day, because the minute you go off of that plan, the weight is going to come back. So let's take one piece of this. You asked about portion control. Is portion control important? Well, if it comes from a place of control, I've got to control myself. There's an implication that I have to do something that I don't want to do, or I have to make myself do something I don't want to do, or I don't let myself do something that I really want to do. That is not sustainable. So instead of thinking about being in control, think about being in charge, making mindful decisions about how to feed my body in a way that gives me the results that I want, energy, vibrancy, the ability to live my life free of obsession about food. So if that's the case, then eating the right amount of food is not about being good, it's about feeling good. If I eat too much food, I'm tired, I feel disgusting and gross and full and bloated. When I eat the right amount of food, not only do I get to enjoy the food, but then I'm energetic and ready for my next activity without falling asleep on the couch. So it's about feeling good, not about being good.
I think that's so great, being in control. I mean, being in charge, not being in control. You know, one of the segments in your book, you talk about how you lost touch with your body's wisdom. And I have seminars that I teach, and I talk about that, about how we have our bodies communicate to us in a way, and if we would just listen to the communication our body gives us, we'd be able to do what it is that we need to do for us. How do you think most folks lose touch with their body's wisdom, and the best way to get folks back on track is how?
Well, as it relates to food, it can start in childhood. For example, sometimes parents, well-meaning mothers and fathers, say things like, if you don't eat all your dinner, you don't get dessert. So even though the parent doesn't know how hungry that child is, or doesn't know that the babysitter gave them a banana an hour ago, they teach the child to finish the plate that they fixed, by the way. So the parent decides how much that kid needs to eat, and then they reward them with more food for eating everything. And they're subtly teaching the child that the food on the plate is the yucky stuff and the dessert is the reward. So you can unlearn the ability to recognize your own levels of hunger and fullness early on just by the kinds of messaging your parents gave you. Then on top of that, you think about advertising like, right, you deserve a break today and indulge yourself and things like that, where we're taught that eating food is a way to treat ourselves, and we deserve it. So we begin to ignore what our own body is telling us and start paying more attention to those external and emotional cues.
Well, I know I grew up with the starving kids in Africa. If you don't, you know, there are kids starving elsewhere, eat everything on your plate. And I so recognized that as a person who's studied the power of the mind for better than 30 years, when it came to my own daughter, who is now 17 and a freshman in college, from the time she was little, I always said to her, is that I want you to stop eating when you're full or when you think you're full. And if you think you want a bite of dessert, stop eating a little bit sooner so you can still have a little bit of dessert. You get to choose. And I will tell you, she is the smartest eater I've ever seen, ever, ever. Yes. And it just comes.
Yes, my kids are the same way. Never. Right. I just knew from my own issues that I couldn't make both of my kids eat the food that they didn't want to eat. And they're amazing. I mean, my daughter, who's, you know, now a little bit old for this, but, you know, she'd go trick-or-treating and could keep the candy in her closet. I literally could let her keep her own candy in her bedroom because it wasn't a big deal to her. She'd eat a few pieces and then she'd get bored of it. It wasn't any big deal. So that's what we're really talking about, is is getting back to that place where you have that ability to know what to do. And it's critical because we live in a culture, in a society where food is everywhere. If you don't have the ability to say yes or no, or you think you need to clean the plate and the waiter brings twice as much food, which is almost always the case, then you're going to walk around eating more food than your body needs.
I think it's amazing. I mean, I know there are some places, and I won't mention their name because they're wonderful food restaurant chains and they have wonderful food, but some of the food I've been served looks like dinner for four.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband and I, we've gotten pretty smart, and I know that, you know, I've gotten to the, I can't eat that much food. Actually, I can't even look at that much food on a plate.
Yep.
And so, you know, we're almost always sharing entrees, or I'll order something and then I'll put half of it on a plate and I'll put half of it in a to-go box before I even start to eat. The thing
my husband and I call that co-ordering and co-eating. We just have to negotiate, you know, okay, what are we going to do for this? Because, you know, you don't need all of that food. It can turn a special occasion into an evening of misery. Plus,
right.
It's a waste of money. So,
right.
You know, better, you know, we didn't help those children in Africa when we ate all that food. We should have sent it to them like
we
some
did.
Smart children told their parents.
Right, we didn't. My husband actually grew up in Africa.
Yeah.
So,
God.
But it's funny because we say the same thing. You know, a waiter will come up to the table and it's like, excuse me, we're negotiating at the moment. Because the truth is I don't like the feeling of overeating. I don't
mm-hmm.
like the way that feels.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's a place where a lot of folks have gotten used to that feeling mm-hmm. as a way to be.
Mm-hmm. They're disconnected from the feeling of it. And so when I'm working with people, now the book, as I mentioned before, I'm a family physician, but I started teaching these workshops about 10 years ago. And this book is really the culmination of 10 years of working with literally thousands of people who had struggled with yo-yo dieting. And what I tried to do in this is give people a step-by-step approach for turning back the clock back to the place where they what I call eat instinctively, where they learn how to listen to their own body wisdom, that they're free to eat the food that they love, just like their thin friends, but that food doesn't hold all of the power over them anymore, so they can put it back into its proper perspective. And it sounds almost too good to be true, but I can tell you from working with thousands of people that it is the most freeing, the most empowering experience, and amazingly, which is I think important for your listeners in particular, the processes that they learn through the process in the book apply to other aspects of their lives. It's not just about the way that we eat, but it's about the way we do life. Not about controlling ourselves, but being in charge, being mindful, being intentional about the way that we live and the way we make choices.
And I think you're right that every aspect of our lives, and when we can be in charge of our food, we can be in charge of our life. I can see easily the direct correlation. A couple of questions I have. A conversation about water intake. There's so much different conversation about you can't lose weight unless you have X amount of water a day. And then I read something else somewhere where it says, no, we're overhydrating. What's your conversation on liquid intake?
Well, to generalize the question, it points out how many confusing myths there are about not just water, but about all sorts of
right.
food. And the truth is that a confused mind does nothing. And so one of the unintended consequences of all of this nutrition talk that's going on is that people just ignore it after a while. Specifically as it relates to water, we researched every piece of advice we put in the book. There's over 400 references, and we could not find any proven study that showed that people needed eight-ounce glasses of water a day. The best we could find is that some guy wrote an article about it 30 or 40 years ago, and it's become dogma, despite the fact that there's really no good evidence. So what I tell people to do is do just like you do for food. Listen to your body. Pay attention to your body. And one of the ways you can tell whether you're getting enough water is to notice how your urine looks. If you're getting plenty of fluids and you're not on a bunch of medicine that would discolor your urine, but if you're getting plenty of fluids, your urine will appear pale. If it's very deep, dark yellow, your body is concentrating it. It's trying to hang on to every drop. So So you don't need to measure it. You need to pay attention to your body and take care of it from that standpoint.
I think this is such terrific information. What about, there's a big conversation now. I know you've probably heard this one. Making sure that your food is alkaline, and especially having water that has been alkalinized.
You know, I don't want to offend anybody that has strong beliefs about certain things, but I think that a lot of times people are looking for some quick fix, some miracle that will get them to a healthy weight and long lasting life with, you know, full energy. The truth is that we need to be living a balanced life, and if I'm focusing on every molecule that I put in my mouth, and I can't even free enough energy to love the people that are around me and do the things that I love to do, then I can't live that full life that I want so badly. So I would suggest that people not get so caught up in the detail until they understand why they eat in the first place. How do I nourish this life that I want? And for most of us, that probably means less processed food, more fruits and vegetables, lean meats, you know, low-fat or fat-free dairy if we tolerate it, you know, focusing more on whole grains and nuts and seeds and eating a little close to nature, and when we have the chocolate and the wine and the other things, enjoy them maximally so there's no associated guilt, no overdoing it, and ruining the positive benefits you get by doing too much, and free your energy up to focus on things that are a little more important.
Well, you know, I started doing some research on this alkaline thing, and I told you I watch what I eat. And what does that mean? Is that no, I'm not obsessed by food, but if it's not real food, I won't eat it. I don't eat anything processed. I haven't for decades. If I get really busy, I'll have fresh food delivered to the house because I need to have real food. And what I found is, as I was exploring this alkaline thing, that I went and bought myself some pH strips to see what my body was doing. And without having anything special, just eating whole fresh food, I was in like the perfect alkaline spot.
Isn't so I thought that interesting?
That was kind of an interesting study that I did on my own. But we can talk more about this. I could keep you on here for hours. Do you know that?
Please
We're listening to Michelle May. You've got great stuff going on here. Don't leave us. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Amerjet is ready when you are, shipping household goods, personal effects, animal, or even hazardous material. Let Amerjet deliver. Call today at 1-800-927-6059 to anywhere in the Caribbean, Mexico, Central, or South America. Amerjet is ready to ship your package. Customer-friendly and reliable cargo service throughout the world. Personal or business, small and large packages. Amerjet, your best source for great shipping.
Candy G is a sales coach, life skills coach, speaker, author, and personal motivator. A recognized leader in the motivational speaking industry, Candy G teaches universal, timeless principles and real-time action steps, revealing the secrets to true success, happiness, and personal prosperity. She shows others how to master their own lives. For more information on events with Candy G or available products and services, please contact 1-888-526-3334 or visit us online at www.candyg.com. Candy G is also available to customize programs for your corporation, group, or organization.
I just completed the most fabulous program that I ever had the opportunity to be a part of. I'd like to thank you, Candy, for all your help and your inspiration. A little down on myself, not knowing where I was going, but you have brought it out of me. You've given me the confidence to know that I can achieve anything that I set my mind to.
Welcome back. This is Nothing But Good News Radio. This is your host, Candy G. And another reminder, please, please come out next Monday night for the Florida premiere of An Anything But Ordinary Journey. This extraordinary film will challenge viewers to reevaluate not only their concept of success, but what the true purpose and passion is for their life. And it's a series of interviews, but it's so well done and so well edited that you'll just be absolutely amazed. Some of the most amazing folks I've ever seen, and incredible stories. And so come out and join me next Monday night at Cinema Paradiso, which is great fun, downtown Fort Lauderdale. So I was talking, before we went to a commercial break, I was talking to you about just, I know that I eat well, and I know that I eat whole fresh food, and the fact that my alkalinity was like right spot on. And it was funny because I was handing strips to everybody that walked in my house and was telling them to go pee on this strip to see where their alkalinity was. And for the most part, most people were in pretty good shape. So, you know, I was just curious about the conversation about that piece because I don't want to offend anybody either. And I know some folks have had some great success doing some great things, but you said it earlier, we're all so different. Who knows, who really knows what works for you? But I am about whole, fresh, real food and not stuff that's like play pretend food. You know, they call it food, but it's not food.
Well, I think that's true. And what's interesting about it is a lot of the best advice is just common sense. But unfortunately, our current diet paradigm is all these processed foods are bad. You should never eat them. Don't eat white things. Don't eat sugar. Don't eat this. So it's somebody, some expert, whoever that is, from outside of yourself, who's telling you what to do. Well, it's human nature to resist that, especially when many of those kinds of foods have been associated with pleasure or stress reduction or entertainment, as you mentioned earlier. So now somebody is not letting you do it, and it builds up this resistance. So what I found is that it works so much better to teach people how to recognize how things make them feel, recognize their own thoughts and feelings as they relate to certain triggers in their environment or emotional triggers. And then as they become more mindful, more aware, they make these changes slowly and naturally and perfectly for themselves. I never need to tell people what they can and can't do because they will reach their own ideal balance and what's okay for them. They will find a way to improve their own lifestyle that's realistic, that fits in with their own family preferences and their own body and how that works. I don't need to tell anybody what to do. I'm not the expert. I'm only the guide.
And so folks are listening today and they're going, wow, I can do that. I can do that. And I can start paying attention to what makes me feel good and why I eat and when to stop eating. And all of a sudden they find themselves really feeling better just even after just a few days. But then what do folks do when they find themselves getting off track?
Well, it's a great question because the truth is that we live in a time where people are under a lot of stress. They get busy, they forget to eat, or they have too much going on and they're eating on the run or eating things that don't cause them to feel good. At any point in time, you are only one step away from asking yourself again, well, am I actually hungry? And what food would I choose right now that would make me feel best? Sometimes that's a Christmas cookie, and that's okay as long as we don't get into this path of, oh, I was bad, and now I have to go punish myself by spending an extra hour on the treadmill. As long as I'm intentionally choosing to eat Christmas cookies, at least it's not this unconscious, mindless shoveling it into my mouth and then feeling bad afterward. And to make that point, you know, Candy, when I was in my medical practice, I would have patients that would come in all the time and say, I know I should exercise, but I hate it. And right away I knew from the word should and hate that they probably had developed this pattern of using exercise to punish themselves for being bad around food or earning the right to eat. Well, nobody does anything because of pain for long term. We do things that feel good. So I highly recommend that people stop associating exercise and weight and start looking at how exercise makes you feel in the long run. Do it in a way that really brings you pleasure. Choose activities you enjoy. Do as little as you can without hating it. In other words, if you need to start with 5 minutes, start with 5 minutes. But don't start with 60 because that's what you read, knowing full well you're not going to keep doing it. So I think ultimately this idea of moving toward the pleasure, moving toward what feels good, eating in a way that feels good, moving in a way that feels good, and not doing it because some expert made you or you've got to fit into a dress for a wedding or something else that's not sustainable.
It's back to that should thing. I should. You know, I should or I shouldn't do this. You know, and I hear that piece. And so, but let's say you get to the place where you're doing what you say and you find pounds are shifting and you're moving some pounds and you're feeling pretty good about it and you're working towards the pleasure piece and going, you know what, this is not that hard, especially when I'm watching my portions and after I watch portions for a while and figure out what a real portion is meant to be, that piece is I think also kind of was an amazing aha for me. Like, for instance, I would have somebody, I got so busy because I speak a lot. I speak, I travel a lot. My husband and I, we both have our own businesses. I don't just do the radio show. I have a coaching and training firm, and I have days sometimes where I'm out speaking and training every single day or I'm traveling. And so last spring, I had a company that would bring me fresh food that would be perfectly portioned. And I did that for probably 2 months. And what was interesting is when they would bring me the food, I look at the size of the portion. I'm going, you got to be kidding me, right? Is this a real portion? But after doing that for a few weeks, what I found is that I can't eat more than that amount of food. It's like, where was my head before in relationship to portions? And so don't you think that most folks have the whole portion thing kind of askew?
Yeah, they do. And one of the things that's really interesting about this is that people who don't struggle with their weight, or somebody like yourself who has recalibrated and gotten back in touch with what you really need, it's as though you have a thermostat that is set on comfortable. So you know how a thermostat in a room works, right? So it's controlling the temperature. If it gets too cold and gets uncomfortable, the heat kicks on. If it gets too hot and gets uncomfortable, the air kicks on. So it's the same way in your body. If you can reset your thermostat onto the comfortable range, then you begin to notice when you get uncomfortably hungry. I need to eat now. I'm not functioning well. I'm getting irritable. I can't focus. My stomach is growling. I'm making silly mistakes. That's uncomfortable. I need to eat. But I need to pay enough attention while I'm eating to notice when I'm about to move back into the uncomfortable range of being too full. So it's really about resetting your thermostat to that comfortable range where I eat when I'm hungry, but I stop before I'm stuffed. And that's what happens for somebody like yourself who had food delivered or has been on some kind of a plan for a while, and you say, oh, my stomach shrunk. Really what you've done is you've began to actually notice what it feels like to be too full. You've actually begun to like the idea or the feeling of eating just the perfect amount of food and not feeling miserable afterward.
You know, Michelle, while you're talking, I'm sitting here, I'm nodding my head up and down because that is exactly the thing that I've discovered, is there was a place where I learned to love not eating too much. It's really amazing. And we'll talk about ways that folks can find you and how they can learn what it is that you know so that they can have all this incredible intuition and body wisdom. This is Nothing But Good News Radio. We're heading off for our last commercial break. We'll be right back.
Are you shipping electronics, hazardous material, live animals, or household goods? At Amerjet, we welcome all your business. We carry it all. Ship your goods direct with Amerjet, and you know you're getting the best price and the most reliable service. Amerjet has daily all-cargo flights to the Caribbean, Mexico, Central, and South America. Local offices and staff in every country. Call 1-800-927-6059.
Hi, I'm Anne from Fort Lauderdale. Now, I'm no stranger to the self-help aisle in the bookstores, and there are so many fabulous motivational speakers out there, but somehow I have never been able to apply what they say to make my life as happy and successful as theirs. Until I read Now Boarding, Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life by Candy G. In this book, Candy G takes motivational speaking out of the theoretical right into the practical. Her step-by-step instructions on how to identify the blocks we have to our own success and happiness, followed by step-by-step instructions in her reclamation process, is like some kind of magic bullet aimed at creating the life that we desire and so richly deserve. Candy G is a remarkable woman who used these same tools to create a life overflowing with love and success. And now this remarkable method is available in her first book, Now Boarding, Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life. Don't hesitate to buy it and just watch magical things start happening in your life.
Welcome back. This is Candy G with Michelle May. Eat what you love, love what you eat. What is your conversation about nutrition and supplements?
Well, I think if you eat a balanced diet and you are relatively mindful about eating whole, fresh foods and keeping in mind all the different nutrients that your body needs, probably most people don't need more than maybe a single multivitamin. And, of course, we're talking, I live in Arizona, you live in Florida, we're getting plenty of sun. There may be people who could use some vitamin D supplementation if they have inadequate sun exposure. Perhaps people could use some calcium supplementation if they don't do enough dairy, that kind of minor thing. But by and large, most of us don't need handfuls of supplements to thrive. It's a very, again, individual decision, and I think people need to take responsibility for that. But I don't think you're going to find health and energy in a pill. I think it exists in the way that you live your life and how you nourish yourself, not something you get out of a bottle.
I agree with you there, and we throw that whole mindset piece in there, how you live your life. I think it's such an important piece. Tell me how folks can find you.
Well, Am I Hungry is my main website, so that's AmiHungry.com. And on that website, Candy, I have a fun handout called 101 Things to Do Besides Eat. Many people download that and put it up on their refrigerator to give them a little pause for thought before they open up the fridge. I also have a ton of articles and other resources there. And on that website, they can find Eat What You Love, Love What You Eat. The subtitle is How to Break Your Eat, Repent, Repeat Cycle. That book is also available at Barnes & Noble and Borders and Books A Million and independent booksellers, as well as Amazon. So they should be able to find it anywhere. If it's not on the shelf, just ask them to order another copy for you.
And are you out in the world doing trainings as well? Or
I do. I am also a professional speaker. I speak at corporate and women's conferences, associations. I also train health professionals to teach these 8-week workshops that I developed. So we have now trained health professionals all over the world, actually, to teach workshops and help bring this message to their hospitals and clinics and offices and coaching practices as well. So I do training, speaking, any way that I can help share this message, I'll do it.
Now, I'm on your website right now, and I've activated my subscription so I could receive my 101 things to do besides eat. So go on to amihungry.com. Oh, yeah, I'm sitting here doing it while we're on the air. So I also see that very cute, some very cute stuff on this website. Healthy recipes. What is your healthy recipes?
Well, my husband, as you mentioned earlier, is a professional spa chef. So the book Eat What You Love has one section full of great recipes. We're foodies. We love to eat, so you aren't going to find any fake substitutes there. It's all about how to choose wholesome foods and combine them in a way that tastes absolutely fabulous. So we're big foodies, and we love to make things taste good. So you can feed it to regular people. They'd never know.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So what would you like folks most to know before we, you know, we probably have about 3 minutes left. What is it you'd like folks most to know?
What do you want to make sure they get before you go? I'd love them to realize that if diets haven't worked for you, there's nothing wrong with you. Diets don't work. If they worked, we wouldn't have the problem that we have here in the country. it really truly is about discovering a path for yourself that utilizes your inborn, your natural, innate ability to eat when you're hungry and stop when you're full, and more importantly, to not use food to meet all of those other needs. Because food cannot permanently entertain you or relieve stress or deal with loneliness or boredom or any other number of things that we try to use it for. And when you figure out how to take care of those needs better, then food gets to move back into its rightful place, so a place where it's pleasurable and enjoyable, and you truly can eat what you love and love, with you, love what you eat without overeating, without feeling guilty, without going down that eat, repent, repeat cycle that we talked about, learning to be in charge instead of trying to be in control all the time.
Is there, and hopefully we have enough time for you to answer this question, is there an issue with metabolism slowing down and having to, you know, kickstart metabolisms again? That's another big conversation we hear.
Absolutely. And part of it is that when people go on a drastic diet and they lose weight, they don't just lose fat, but they lose water and they lose muscle. And when the diet gets too hard and they gain their weight back, they get their fat back, but they don't get their muscle back. So a lot of people over time have slowly but surely lost muscle mass, and their body fat percentage is higher than it ever was, which leads to all kinds of health problems, and it reduces their metabolism. So they don't even need as many calories. They gain more weight back than they actually lost in the first place, and they certainly don't start exercising when they go off their diet. They stop exercising. So as a result, over time, many people have become more sedentary, gaining weight easier, feeling worse, having less energy, and it becomes this vicious cycle that takes them right back to another diet, which only makes the problem worse. So as I said before, I think the answer to this is to not blame yourself, but please don't keep doing the same old thing over and over again. If it didn't work before, buying the next hot book on, you know, don't eat this, don't eat that, isn't going to solve the problem. Let's get to the real issues and move forward from here.
And which leaves us to that one space, what do we do for our kids?
Oh, beautiful question. So your kids know how to eat the right amount of food. They may not perfectly know what to eat. That's your job. But don't make them clean their plate. Don't bribe them with food. Don't punish them withholding food, that kind of thing. Make family meal time a pleasant time to sit together, be together in conversation, but don't make your kids eat just to be there with you. I think this idea of rewarding kids with dessert for cleaning their plate needs to go away. That we don't live in a scarce food environment. That's outdated messages. Don't teach your kids to clean their plate and then send them off to the kinds of restaurants we have nowadays.
Right. I know. It's amazing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. You know, I tell folks when it comes to food, oh, you're going to have to hear this story another day. This means we're at the end. You know, the truth is be mindful about what you eat. Don't eat, overeat. Make sure it's just whole, real, fresh food. And go to amihungry.com. Did I get that right?
Absolutely. Amihungry.com.
It's a great website. Lots of resources on there. Please go check it out. And please come see me next week at Cinema Paradiso for the Florida premiere of An Anything But Ordinary Journey. I'll see you there. Michelle, thanks for being here with me today. This is nothing but good news. Thank you. This is Nothing But Good News Radio. I just want you to get out there and live life like you mean it. Bye for now.